A workshop and performance by an Irish singer considered in her country as a keeper of Ireland's musical legacy will perform in Santa Fe. KSFR contributor Hollis Walker prepared this report.
Noreen Nirean is an internationally renowned Irish singer, interfaith minister, theologist, and author, whose voice, as you just heard, is almost indescribable. Nirean is coming to Santa Fe with her two sons, Owen and Michal O'Sullivan, to present a December 5 workshop, Listen with the Ear of Your Heart, and a Celtic Solstice concert. KSFR recently spoke to Nirean from her home in County Limerick, Ireland. Noreen, you began singing as a child, and I have just finished reading your wonderful biography, Listen with the Ear of the Heart. And you talk about singing, and your singing from the very beginning seems to have been inextricably interwoven with your Catholic faith. And I'm wondering how that came about. Most seven-year-olds are not standing on the hearth singing Mass in Latin.
No, I was a troubled child, Hollis, when I was a young girl, and I was quite unsociable, but I always had a presence in my ear and in my being, which I would call God, and of course everybody will call God by a different name, but that was my best friend, and that has continued to be, and that became linked then too with my singing, because I sang, as most of us do actually, I sang much earlier than I spoke. I didn't speak for a long time. But that singing was also my friend. And so the two became inextricably linked, not so much to the Catholic faith, really, as to the Christian tradition, even though I was brought up very strongly as a Roman Catholic, as most of us in Ireland of the 50s and 60s and 70s were. And now that is changing, thankfully, here in Ireland. And so it's a very exciting time, actually. But the two there singing then also became then my nearest connection with the divine. And I think actually for most people, it is a very easy way of connecting with whatever you'll call that divine, the other in ourselves. You know, there is that little phrase, bis oras quicentes, Latin words, which is very ancient saying, pre-Christian indeed, which says the one who sings prays twice.
Lovely. So you don't just sing sacred music, and you haven't hewn entirely to Christian music or Western instruments. Can you sort of describe the scope of your musical work and the instruments you use?
All right. I suppose they've been linked with my life story, really, too, in that I was selected several times by the Irish government to represent Ireland in India, Alice. And there I was very affected by, again, both the spirituality, which is all pervasive, and the music. And so I began then experimenting with Indian instruments and indeed singing Indian bhajans and all that. So for me, like something like which is a little bhajan by a 16th century Rajasthani saint called Mirabai, that's just as interchangeable as something from my own spiritual tradition of Shamoth of Ireland, like you know, the two are inextricably linked, actually, as is Sanskrit, of course, and the Irish language. So that would reflect...
Most people would not think that Sanskrit and the Irish language are connected.
Absolutely. They're both Irish, as you call it, Gaelic, quite erroneously, actually, because we would always say Irish here in Ireland. We speak Irish. But, yes, Irish and is an Indo-European language. And so if I were to count for you, Hollis, in Irish, 1 to 10, it would be something like this. Hain adó a trí, cahar a cúd, sé seacht, a hocht a mwy a dí. Now, that's almost identical, 1 to 10 in Sanskrit.
Wow. Fascinating. So you,
isn't it?
In India, you picked up and learned to play some Indian instruments that you now, yes, for many years, have used, such as?
Such as, and I'll be bringing some with me, actually, to Santa Fe, such as sarpati, which is a little Indian harmonium, and also shruti boxes. I have a whole series of them in different keys, Hollis, but I just bring one with me to Santa Fe because of luggage and all of that. So that's called a shruti box. And shruti is a Sanskrit word for a sacred sound.
And you you sing in different languages. You sing in Irish and Latin and what else?
Well, of course, it's Sanskrit then, mm-hmm, because of that. A little bit of Jewish. I'm fascinated by the Jewish tradition. And so I would sing maybe some psalms in Jewish.
In Hebrew.
In Hebrew,
yes,
of course.
Uh-huh.
As, of course, so something like 121 now, or 120, I would sing in Eisaina, Eleorim, Meayin, Yavoesli. I'd sing that in Hebrew. So little things like that. But then I love chants in any language, so I'd try anything in French or in German or I've done quite a bit in German because I learned some songs from a visionary in Zurich, Joa Belendas. I don't think I'll be actually singing those in Santa Fe, maybe at the workshop, but probably not at the concert.
So I love this. You're all over the place. The fact that you've jumped in several times here and given examples with your voice, when I was reading your autobiography, I was struck by the fact that in numerous places you would describe yourself interacting with a person in sort of a normal setting, and you would say you just burst into song. Most of us, even if we like to sing, even musicians I know, probably wouldn't just burst into song. What is it in you that allows you that that lack of inhibition?
It wasn't always like that, Hollis. I had debilitating nervousness from the age of 14 to 35 when I couldn't sing for anybody, which came out of a traumatic experience in school when one time I was singing and the nun in charge lost the plot, as we'd say, and sort of said, Noreen Ryan, which I was then, I didn't change my name to Irish for a long time, Noreen Ryan said, you'll never do anything right.
Wow.
And so between that day and to 35, I couldn't sing. But so then when I found my voice again at 35, that gave me such freedom. And it was a miracle. My life began again. And so now I can't stop singing for people. But no, I really believe singing is very good for you, Hollis, and this certainly I'll be going into in the workshop. There are all sorts of recent researches now in Frankfurt, in Manchester, which prove that singing is salubrious. It's very, very good for you, good for your health, good for your personality, good for your posture. Singers visit doctors less, suffer less depression, all of that stuff.
That's wonderful. And I want to go back to the experience you had with your nun teacher and just say that I think so many people have had, as young people, experiences, not just with a nun who was a teacher, but with some teacher who said something so critical that it shuts them down. And what was what happened that brought you out of that?
A very interesting question. I suppose it was a long time coming then, that new beginning, but it just meant I met a voice doctor from The Hague, and he was very influential in bringing me out of it. Just a passive remark that a priest made to me one time, which I actually passed on to Sinead O'Connor one time, and when we were talking a lot about singing, which is that singing is not about you, Noreen. You are merely a conduit. Hmm. You're merely an icon for it. So stand back. Don't let the ego get in there. Carl Jung the psychoanalyst, he says that, you know, we're always traveling between the ego and the self, with a capital S. And the self, he defines, Jung defines, as imago Dei, the image of God.
Talk a little about your theology of music, Noreen.
It was a theology of listening, actually, not of music, really, because even though music, of course, has very powerful, magical aspects and possibilities, I wanted to say something about the whole world of sound, because, of course, our ear has been very badly neglected. The ear is a Cinderella, really, of the senses. And so I wanted to say, because, of course, it's coming out of my own experience from a very young child, as I was saying to you, that I had these voices in my head. And so I wanted to say that every sound can bring one into the presence of the divine, the presence of the other. And so I knew I needed a word, Hollis, to define this theology, because, of course, you're talking about the voice of God, sound of God, listening to God, hearing, silence, of course, because you can't talk about sound without talking about silence. And I knew I had to come up with a word. But just like we say a vegetable, we think of a carrot, we think of broccoli, sweet potato, whatever. And they're all so different. So one day I was walking in a nature trail here beside me where you're talking into in County Limerick. And this word came up, theophany, which is two words, theos, which is the Greek for God, and sonan, which is Latin for sounding. And so this theophany then would cover every aspect of sound and the divine. And so that has now kind of slipped into theology. I wrote a book about it in 2011.
And that book was the result of your doctoral dissertation.
Yes. And there's the nearby University here of Limerick, just in 2000, actually 2000, opened a new department of theology. And I'm the first doctorate out of that university, actually, in theology, which it is in 2003.
So tell me about working with your own sons and what you'll be doing here.
So, yes, I've been singing with my two sons now, which is another string to the bow. And we've been doing this now for 15 years, maybe. And so it started with a family meeting. The three of us just sang spontaneously. And people said, yes, you should sing together. And then the lads came on to me and they sort of said, will you teach us your songs and your repertoire? And so we started, which is very unusual, really, that two young lads would want to learn their old mother's songs. But they found actually a power in them too, you know, and still do. And we'll be explaining a little bit about that in our workshop and indeed in our concert as well.
The workshop Listen with the Ear of Your Heart by Noreen Nurian and her sons Owen and Michal is 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. Tuesday, December 5, at the Academy for the Love of Learning. The Celtic Solstice concert they'll perform is that same night at 6:30, also at the Academy. For more information, call 469-0430. You can also find the details on the KSFR website, ksfr.org. For KSFR News, I'm Hollis Walker.